Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero Vinyl Plank Flooring. It provides a genuine, weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof, scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active households. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and we got 4 hours of talking about just wonderfulness here in the city of Houston. What with our the Astros 6-1 eruption last night. Kyle Tucker, a little 4-for-5. Machete with a 3-run shot. Brantley with a homer. Nonstop. You cannot hold this offense back, especially against a great pitching staff like Seattle's.
Machete, let me tell you something. They'll mess up Seattle. Houston Astros.
Watch
Seattle
yourself,
does not want to see Houston come to town or vice versa.
No, no. Watch yourself, Seattle.
Rangers, you too. Keep talking, Rangers. Keep running your mouth.
Not as much.
Well,
but,
not lately. Not lately as
well,
much.
Well, but
yeah. Seattle.
If the Astros could play.
And, well, the Angels sometimes.
Sometimes. Unless they're sweeping them. But Seattle, here's the deal, is if you played them, if they were the only other team in the league,
you're one of the best.
You know how many titles you would win?
I'd say there's a, I'd say a lot.
A lot of titles. A lot of titles.
If you met them in each round.
Yeah.
You need to meet them in each round,
right.
too. Yeah.
You don't really eliminate them. You just go to the
just
next
keep
round.
Playing them.
Keep
yeah.
playing them in the next
and
round.
And then Seattle would be in major trouble.
Right. So there's that.
They're 24-31 this year, Seattle. I think 30 of those losses have come to the Astros. I don't know who the other team to beat the Seattle.
No one else beat them. It's just the Astros.
I think
that beat
there's
them this
one.
Year.
Yeah, the Astros have 30 wins over them this year.
Yeah.
And then that's good. You know, it is, you talk about Bregman also had a couple of hits. The Astros, when you go, I was listening to another show talk about the rotation, right? And so you've had Urquidy had another good start. So Urquidy is, I think, locking himself in. Greinke will be locked in. I think Fromber is locked in. I think it is going to be McCullers, the odd man out. And McCullers has had some nice.
Oh, what? He's oh, yeah, some, as far some, as the playoff, yeah.
So I, he's well, had I don't some know. Nice outings. I don't know.
Well,
I think this is tough.
Here was his problem. Here was his problem was starting on the road, and he had a beautiful start on the road in Seattle. So that's the real issue is he's got a pitch in Oakland.
See, the problem is Lance McCullers has, when he's on, he has the best stuff on the whole roster.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole pitching staff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of hard to. That guy can be unhittable. So it's hard to not have a guy who can be unhittable in your three man, but you've also got to have guys that you feel like you can count on for sure. And, you know, Urquidy doesn't have the same sample size as Lance McCullers, but just working back off of last year's postseason performance and then what he's done so far this year, I could see where you make an argument for him. Greinke's Greinke, and I think Fromber's Fromber. I think Fromber, who's done it all year long, who's been, you could argue, your steadiest pitcher right there with Greinke, but Fromber's been able to do it. Now, the difference is Fromber's been able to do it in the bullpen, too, so you might consider him a second-half starter, meaning if you have McCullers go, or Urquidy go, or even Greinke go, you have Fromber there to be a two-man tandem.
Yeah.
So you don't really have to get to the bullpen much.
Right.
So I could see where you do that because Fromber has done that already this year.
And you're moving Javier to the bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you got a shot. You got a shot, but the bats have got to wake up. I mean, it is so, holy crap. You and I both, before the season started, we did a sports map video yesterday talking about this. Before the season started, we were like, well, you got the pitching. Well, you know, you after Verlander and Greinke, you know, what are you going to do? We don't know. So you're going to have to win a lot of 8-7 games.
That's been the exact opposite.
8-7. You can't score three. They haven't scored 15 runs in a week. I mean, it's just
And that's why they're 28-27.
Yeah.
They haven't been able to do that, and their bullpen has been the problem that we thought it would be.
And surprisingly, they've gotten good starting pitching.
Yeah, they have.
The starting pitching has been pretty solid this year.
The bullpen has been an issue like we thought.
Yep.
That makes sense. But we did expect, I would say right now, my expectations would have been worst case scenario. They would be, I mean, without thinking about horrible injuries like to Justin Verlander, my expectation would have been worst case scenario would have been 32-23 right now.
Yeah.
Right now at this juncture. With Verlander, you can see where that, you know, causes a little bit of a problem. But I also didn't anticipate these guys stepping up too. I didn't expect Christian Javier to step up. I didn't expect this from Fromber at all.
No. But you didn't have Urquidy for most of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, and you lost McCullers too. So it has been, well, listen, this isn't the year. This just isn't the year. So no. We'll see what happens, but at least they scored six runs yesterday. Nice job. Nice job, guys. And Tucker with a 4-for-5. He's hitting 276. It's the weirdest 276 I've ever seen. Dude goes a week and a half.
Up, down, up, down.
He goes a week and a half without a hit, and then he picks up four hits, two homers. It's just, he is so streaky. He's got to get a lot more consistent. But that's the guy that you're going to be watching for a few years to come.
When it comes to team, just batting average, we'll just do that for the sake of ease, and I'll do OPS. Where do you think the Astros rank in Major League Baseball right now?
As far as batting average goes? Yeah. I would say they're probably 14th.
This is 19th.
19th.
And they're hitting 238, and that's 19th. What kind of year are we having where 238 is 19th?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like that'd be in the 24th?
Right.
The worst team in the league, the Reds are hitting 211 as a team.
That's horrible.
How is that possible?
Wow, that's really horrible.
211 as a team?
Like, okay.
213 for the Rangers? 214 for the Pirates? What in the hell? How is this possible? These are team batting averages.
Well,
does this normally happen? I don't ever look at the bottom half of Major League Baseball. Is this a normal occurrence?
I'm going to check out right now.
Terrible?
Last year, 2019 regular season average. Last year, the worst team in the league. What do you think it hit?
235.
236.
Okay.
The Blue Jays.
Unbelievably bad.
Yeah, this is really, really horrible.
And so the Astros are 238. Their numbers this year. See, it seems like it'd be at the bottom half of the league.
Guess where the Astros finished last year in hitting?
I'm going to say top six.
First.
Wow, what was their team?
274.
Yeah, this year it's like 278, I think.
What? Their average is
230.
No, 230. You just said 230.
No, for the league leader. 274, Mets.
Mets?
Yeah.
274.
Astros 238, did I say?
Yeah.
And what was last place last year?
236.
That's what it feels like. And I couldn't believe they're 19th. That just shows you how badly the hitting is getting worked by the pitching this year.
Well, the Astros didn't start this poorly, so I thought it might be a little bit better than 19th. That's why. But they really, really have kicked it up an incredible notch over these lists last month or so.
Their OPS is 714. They're 20th in the league in OPS. The worst is the Pirates at 617. That's like a team full of Brad Ausmus.
So last year, the worst OPS was 673, the Marlins. And the best OPS was the Astros at 848.
673 would have been 29th this year. The Rangers, 637. Even the Reds, who I told you were hitting, what were they hitting?
211.
Their OPS is 716. They're actually higher than the Astros. They're hitting some bombs.
And they're probably scoring some runs. Where are they in runs?
In runs, yeah. I'm sure it's a strategy.
We got to take a break because Jimbo is joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. The head coach of the Ags is going to be with us.
Astros 256, 250 runs. The Reds are down at 26, 222 runs. So if they're hitting home runs, it's a bunch of solo home runs.
Oh, yeah, a bunch. All right, 708 ESPN 97.5. Let's talk a little my bookie. Let's talk a little bit, and I was thinking about this. I mean, it is It is fabulous, fabulous, this site. If you haven't been on it and you haven't seen it, if you are somebody who has been on sites before and you know and you want to get, how about navigating a site easily? You can do that with mybookie.ag. Promo code radio. MyBookie.ag promo code radio is the best site to get on and start playing. You throw in your initial deposit, they'll match that. That's cool, which no other bookie will do. Match your initial deposit 100%. So you throw in $100, they're gonna match $100. So you got $200 to play with. And the same for if it's $1,000 or $3,000 or whatever the case may be. So if you're looking for a great way to play and get more out of it, and when you win, they pay. MyBookie.ag promo code radio.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, you know what that music means. Time to bring in the coach. Jimbo Fisher joining us, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. There's a bunch of good ags, too. The Damaris's all went to Texas A&M, so they wanted to sponsor the coach every week right here on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie football and basketball. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How y'all doing?
Doing great. You good, ever coach. Get? I know some of you used to. I don't know. Have you ever gotten Damaris Barbecue up there in College Station?
Yeah, which one? I can't hear what you said.
Damaris Barbecue. Have you ever gotten their stuff up there in College Station?
It don't ring a bell, but I probably have. It's probably because sometimes we'll bring in food or lunch sometime for the coaches and things. We usually mix it up, so I'm sure I have.
You know how coach is. You just the food just cause you it stay in your office. You're working. The food comes in. You eat it. On to the next thing.
Right.
Exactly right. Yeah, you know exactly
what it is. That's what it is.
I'm going to work that out, coach, and he's going to bring your coaches up there some barbecue from Damaris here in Houston. How's that?
All right, I'll take that, I promise.
All right, I know you will. So let's go. Here we go, Coach. We finally got some football. I bet your guys can't wait.
Oh, we can. I mean, it is. Guys tired of getting, you know, hitting each other like you always do in camp, you know, because that first game. But then, you know, as coaches, are we dotting I's, crossing T's? Is this right? Is that right? Is this right? Is that right? I don't care how many years you do it and how often it happens. It's always nerve-wracking, and just that first game is just totally different.
So tell us about Vanderbilt. What do we know?
Defensively, very well coached. I mean, caused a lot of problems.
Coach, you there?
Coach. Uh-oh. We lost the coach. Hey, is he? What's going on, Dell?
He's just, I don't know. He's just his cell phone.
Had a play to play contested coverages, multiple coverages. The sky is very well. I mean, they're a very well coached team. Offensively, Todd Fitch, I've known him a long time. Very diverse in his approach. I've seen him go from three tight end sets and do different things to spread open RPOs. I mean, very knowledgeable guy, very diverse. We have to prepare for a lot of different things in that regard. Special teams are always sound. I mean, they lost their top rushing receiver on offense, but have some guys coming back who are very good players defensively. Long up front, very athletic in the front seven, experienced linebackers, and you know, corners that are all bad, 10 guys back on defense. So, you know, very experienced, very veteran ball club.
It is. It's going to be interesting because they lose, you know, big performers at their skill positions. But as you mentioned, and one of them is with Keyshawn Vaughn is with Tampa. But they do have guys back defensively, and that is a unit that, you know, there were some times where I thought they hustled to the ball and they played pretty tough. And so I think it's going to be an interesting matchup for you because you're going to have to, you don't really have a lot of tape on some of the guys who are taking over at the skill position, but you do have a lot on what they're going to do defensively right now. You lost a starting linebacker this week who opted out in Anthony Hines. And I was curious about this late in the game, how that impacts you from and impacts your coordinator from a game planning standpoint.
Right now, I don't think Anthony was playing. I mean, doing very well, but he was in a rotation with guys, and we have quite a few young guys. Aaron Hansford has really came on in camp and playing extremely well, along with Cooper, the young freshman, along with A. White, Russell, all those guys were doing really well. Of course, with Buddy and that group. So we had quite a few guys in the rotation. We were able to play and get a lot more depth. So it won't affect us as far as that goes. I mean, losing Anthony is, guy was a great special teams player. He ran, he played on our defense. He made a lot of plays, did a lot of things, very athletic, made a lot of tackles. So, I mean, you don't ever want to lose that. But from a schematic standpoint or a depth standpoint, I think we're still in good shape.
I want to follow up real quick. The sign of an SEC defense, a good SEC defense, is usually team speed. Are you happy with your team speed defensively this year?
We're getting much better. I mean, our overall team speed, we're running much better. Safety, athleticism, the backers, what we got, the young linebackers, size, speed, the front guys. Also, the guys who put their hand in the dirt. So, yes, I think we run much better than we have. And I don't mean that as any slight. I just think, guys, in the training and the programs we put in. So, we're getting to where we need to be at that level.
Yeah. So, Vanderbilt won't name a starting quarterback. Does that matter to you?
I thought they named Seals is what I had understood earlier, but maybe I was off on that. But I believe they had. But I'm sure they'll play because I did different. Anytime you have young guys like that, you're always going to keep a rotation work. We're expecting for all those guys to possibly play.
Yeah. But you got to go play anyway. It's not going to, right? Is that that big? Unless they're totally different quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but in today's game, you go. I hate to say everybody's got somebody who can run. Everybody's got somebody who can RPO. Everybody's got somebody who can, cause diverse things that happen. Most people do in the game today. So, how big a difference it is, I don't know.
Coach Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5. He joins us every week. On Tuesdays, unfortunately, we had flooding here, and our producer was late. Coach, we apologize about that, getting with you yesterday. But we will have Tuesdays at 7:15, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue right here on your station for the Aggies. Coach, when a kid comes in and says, hey, Coach, I think I got to opt out, how difficult is that? Because that's a kid you're counting on, but you also got to worry about the kid.
No, you do. I mean, the things that are going on in the world today, from COVID to social injustices, all the different things, a lot of pressures, and what you just think of the kid. But sometimes everybody's family was affected differently by all the different things that happened. And so, the influences in his life or what he's thinking, why he's thinking it, or the things that are on his mind at that present time are all different. You have 100-some different players, and everybody's family has been affected differently. He has been affected differently in what goes on. So, the discussions you have with the guys, the choices, sometimes it's easy, and you understand. I mean, you're always receptive and very understanding about what the young man wants. I mean, you don't ever want to lose any of them, but at the same time, you got to understand everybody's not in the same shoes or look at the same things the way you do. And, that's just the way life is right now, and you got to see it. You got to try to see things through other guys' eyes.
I'm curious about I kind of feel like I've had this conversation with people before about how Major League Baseball, to me, was a great indicator for non-bubble sports like football. When they first had their outbreak in with the Marlins and then with the Cardinals, there was a lot of talk about, oh, is this it? Is baseball going to shut down? Because we hadn't really, dealt with this in sports yet. They did what they had to do. They kind of shut those teams down. They kept going. And that was our first sign of, okay, this is how sports can work. And I think it's interesting because now the NFL has really not had to deal with that at all. But college football has had to. And it was almost like, I kind of felt like Coach, Major League Baseball kind of showed you, all right, you can deal with this. This is kind of how you deal with it. And you can get through this and you can keep a season going. And it seems like college football has followed that model early on, and it hasn't led to any doom and gloom about shutting down football. Did you pay any attention to the other sports when they were trying to operate and when they came back?
Most definitely, which is what we were trying to learn from. I think it's one of the reasons Commissioner Sankey he waited so long to try and learn and didn't make decisions. He wanted to see what other people did, how they did it, and then you try, you see what they do that worked, you see what they didn't do that worked, how it happened, how quickly it happened. And I think we learned from that, and I think we definitely watched it, observed it, bring it up to our kids each and every day when scenarios happen with people. And, things are going to happen, there's no doubt. But at the same time, you got to learn from those situations. I think that's one of the smart things the SEC did by being patient before it made any decisions.
Did you get to watch any games last week, Coach?
Very few. I think we were having our last type scrimmage where, it wasn't a live scrimmage and that, but we were practicing, but going through all game situations, substitute, all those types of things. So, you got a little bit, here and there, but not a ton.
Yeah. This is the warm-up time for most college teams, that the first game. You're going right into it. Vanderbilt followed by Alabama, and here we go. And let's start playing football, as opposed to is it any different getting ready when you don't have, well, you had Clemson to start. So that was a little bit different. But how different is this getting started with conference play right away?
Well, I mean, it definitely gets your attention because, I mean, of course, you don't want to lose any games. You got to play them all the same. But, I mean, you know that you're jumping into the fire right away, and guys who are going to play in the same athletic level, same coaching level, same everything with you, and, you know, you're going to have to dot I's, cross T's, and get your attention in the offseason and in camp, that's for sure.
Have you addressed your team about being a top 10 team in the country yet, or is that something that you stay away from?
No, we don't ever say about being a top 10. What we try to say is that we got to play to our potential and our motivation, our desires. And when we have to look for outside things to motivate us, we're not where we need to be. Now, you always, I mean, it's inspiring to do those things. And I always say this, motivation comes from within. You know what I'm saying? People can inspire you, and ratings can inspire you, or what you can achieve can inspire you. But you have to have a culture from within. And I think that's one of the things that our older leadership right now is doing a really good job of, and our young guys are hungry, and that's the reason they came here. They came here to win championships. They came here to be a top 10, be the number one team in the country, matter of fact, not just top 10 or top 5. But, you know, you see it in our recruiting. You see it in our players' attitudes and desires, and so that's kind of how we go about that.
We have Dana, and we have Dana on every week too, Coach Dana Holgorsen, and he's got 8 captains this year. And last year, you're a coach that walked in, what was it, last year or the year before, you had 5 seniors. Which one? I forget which one it was.
Last year,
you had 5 seniors on your roster, and it's hard to find leaders unless you find young guys that are really, really motivated and can lead. What's your captain situation? What's your leadership situation like this year?
I think right now it's one of the best ones we've had. I think it's a really good group. Last year, like I say, numbers-wise, it hurts you. First year, we had some really strong guys, too. I mean, in that group, Eric McCoy and some of those guys, there was quite a few of them in there that, and this, you know, different guys, Dono, that were strong leaders for us, Travion, all those type of guys. But, you know, young guys now tend to take more leadership roles right now. And we have quite a few of those younger guys. Now, I mean, Clemens is doing an unbelievable job on the outskirts of him and what he's doing. Some of those guys, his leadership, Kellen's doing outstanding, and where he's at and those guys. But young guys now, and back in our day, it was less likely those guys stepped up. Now, because guys leave so early for college, you're 3 and done, their exposure to people, their things, those young guys don't have a problem leading up. And there's quite a few of those guys that do it from within, too. So I think our leadership has done excellent, and I think it's the whole culture of it is getting so much better, in my opinion.
That is great. Well, yeah, you got some more. At least you got a little age this year, Coach. That's got to be difficult with 4 or 5 seniors on the roster. We'll let you go. We know you got meetings, and we appreciate you being here, and we're looking forward to watching that first game on Saturday. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Y'all have a great day.
All right, there's Coach Jimbo Fisher, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. They've got the location on 610 and 18th Street. You get off at the 18th Street exit if you're going north on 610, and it's right there on the feeder road. And you're looking for a great place to watch the Aggies games, or you're looking for a great place to watch all your NFL. He's got the NFL package. We were there last week watching all the games. It was a great time. Regina's behind the bar there and serving and having a great time. And you got the other location on Shepherd, been there forever. So if you're looking for great barbecue and everything else, the Greek salads, excellent, excellent, excellent. That's what I get every time. 726 ESPN 97.5. And that's no jab, Lance. That is not a jab.
No, it's not. But Site Jab can do, they can tighten up Yanni's, website if they need. They can they've done it for restaurants. They've done it for different HR companies and staffing companies. They can do it for really anyone. And what SiteJab does is, this is a company that's been in Houston and been in business in Houston, really. I mean, they're Houstonians, but they've been in business for over 2 decades now. And so what they do is they can customize a site for you from the ground floor up. You can tear down what you've got right now and restart it. Take it to the studs and restart it. And before you know it, you're going to have a beautiful new website. 3 to 6 weeks is all it takes. So it's a very quick process. And they can have your site not only will it look beautiful, but it will be created for the specs of what is expected today. It'll be mobily integrated. It will be, it can have, e-commerce on it. It can, it's going to have great user interface and flow of the website so that information is disseminated easily to the people that are on your website, and that can help convert those eyes into leads. Because that's what it's all about, turning those leads into business. Small to medium-sized businesses, this is a huge must for you. You've got to have a nice-looking website, but you got to have a highly functional website that's up to today's standards, and they can help you do that at SiteJab. Check them out online. You can set up an appointment. They can work with you at Zoom. They can work with you in person. Just go to SiteJab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, we lost Quentin Tarantino. He was listening to us, Del. And he no longer listens to us because Lance and I are too woke. He went to Clay Travis. Thank God for Clay Travis.
All we've been doing is talking about what have we done. We talked a lot of football yesterday.
He lost his basketball. Well, I am Team Jamel.
Yeah, he did mention that in his tweet directly at us. And yeah. Then he also added Jamel Hill and Clay Travis and Upkick and Jason Whitlock.
Right.
He's been a longtime listener. I like the guy. I don't know what we've done, but that's fine.
I will say.
Why do you like him? Do you know him?
He's long.
How do you know he's not a killer? He's not a murderer.
He retweets my stuff.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's a good guy.
You like him?
Yeah, he seems like a good.
The social dilemma is right here
next to me. Seems like he is a good person.
Because
he retweets. He retweets me.
I'll tell you right now. I don't like him.
Delete. Well, he does.
Whoa.
He does.
He's got a weird name. He looks like Quentin Tarantino.
He does retweets for me. I like him
because he looks like Quentin Tarantino.
He seems nice to me.
I will say I don't like him because he included me in a tweet that involves Outkick, Clay Travis, and Jason Whitlock. I don't want to be involved in that. So I'm telling you right now, I don't like him.
Hey, don't put me in that company.
Jay, Jason Whitlock. You've talked about that before.
You like
Jason Whitlock?
No, I do not.
You like that he represents.
Who does he represent?
You?
No, he does not.
He's on a higher stage.
You know what Jason Whitlock represents?
What?
He goes, look, white people are like, well, in that field, we need a black guy to agree with us on this. Can Jason Whitlock agree with us?
Wow.
Whoa, Del. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Actually, his whole career, like, Whitlock's been around for a while.
Where's the gavel?
It's back there. Mm-hmm. His whole career has been, you don't know what he's going to say. Like, he says plenty of things that make white people mad,
No,
too.
I know what he's going to say. I can predict. You give me an issue that involves a certain population, I can tell you what he's going to say. Why do you think he wound up on a particular place he wound up on?
Well, because he is he can do contrarian, and he can be... There's money in that.
Yeah, he's a grifter. I know.
Let's be honest. There's money in contrarian ideology.
He and Candace Owens should hold a summit.
Stop.
What?
Stop telling people to hold summits.
No, what's wrong with that? They should teach a course on grifting. That's all.
Well, listen, Skip Bayless showed you that, and it has nothing to do with race. Skip Bayless just showed you if you take contrarian opinions about different things, you can't. I would just watch the Mark Ingram touchdown where he's looking to get tackled. He's expecting to get tackled, trying to get 1 yard, and he's like, he chops his feet and he slows down through the line. He's like, whoa, nobody's here. This is great. Touchdown. If you do stuff. Like if you're the conservative on MSNBC, if you're the liberal, quote unquote, and it's the same way on both sides, going to Fox, you are going to be sought after, especially if you sometimes agree with their side. Then all of this is very predictable. It's a very predictable model. Skip showed you can't be a follow along guy and stand out.
No,
you can't. Nick Wright
would always
Stephen A. I get tweets every day. Did you hear what Stephen A. said? Stephen A. said this about this.
It is
and Stephen A. feels about this.
No, they figured out. I mean, the squeaky wheel is the one that's going to get the grease. And the louder you talk, and this is across. This is not even. I'm not even meaning this to be just racial. I mean, this is just from a programming standpoint. If you are the loudest guy who has a contrarian opinion that polarizes, you make the money. That's how it is. I mean, even Howard Stern, he polarized people and found out this is how you make it. You know, Josh Ennis figured that out. He's followed the Howard Stern model forever. He'll tell you that's his favorite. Mm-hmm. That's his favorite guy. You see, Nick Wright. Nick Wright was here talking about gun control and stuff, pissing everyone off, losing ratings left and right. I was making big bonuses back at my other station because of Nick Wright, and he didn't care. And I kind of felt bad for John Lopez because Nick Wright's eyes were on the prize, which is doing something national. He knew he was going to take these strong stances, even if it cost him local listeners and cost his radio partner, ratings left and right. He was going to do that, and he got to where he wanted to go. He and his agent had a plan, and that was, I'm not saying he doesn't believe what he says, but he knows that that's going to be something that is divisive and hurts his own station. He didn't care because his eyes were on the higher prize, because that's how you get elevated up to the top. You gotta say stuff that is a little bit that's strong or controversial. And Jason Whitlock Jason Whitlock has been a topic for people who have been pissed off for, I mean, over a decade now. Over a decade of writing, Jason Whitlock has pissed people off. And because he played college football, do you know where, Dell? Dell will know.
What is it, Ball State or
something? Ball State.
He doesn't piss me off. I just don't.
Dell, he gets you a little.
No, not really, because I don't read his stuff. I just ignore
saw,
him.
The other day I saw an article that was up, or a video, and I saw Dell pound the desk.
What?
Whenever I was walking by, he's like, damn it. I saw him do that.
Sure. Yeah, you saw that, sure.
You did, because of something Jason Whitlock wrote?
Yeah. No, that didn't happen. What I am, I am a little bit pissed about Lance.
What? What happened?
There's something you did the last couple of days because you think, oh, it's raining, so let me just park in this dude's spot because it's raining. You're doing that on purpose.
Oh, I've hit his spot.
Hold on, pause. You didn't hit my spot. You parked. Pause.
Don't save that.
You said that.
I parked in what I knew was Dell's personal little spot.
Of all the spots he could park in, he just, oh, it's raining, so now, I'll park one in that time,
particular
spot.
You gotta save what he said about your spot.
Yeah.
One time because Dell, wasn't here, so I knew I could park. Today was like, oh.
Yesterday, too.
But it was a... Yeah. What was the rainy one Monday that you
Does it say Dell Alola Lola Lola?
Look, it's not a particular.
Does it say that on the
no,
on the sign?
I'm not a crazy person. I'm not gonna write that on a spot. No, the thing
is, it's just easier to park in that spot.
Yes, when I'm coming up the ramp. I just find it interesting that Lance decides, well, there are all these spots to take, I'm just gonna take this one.
Well,
it's just made sense to me.
Are you broken inside? Is that the problem?
Closest spot to the door?
No.
It's relatively close
to the
door.
It's the second closest, actually.
Yeah, but that other one, you have to swerve too close to the pole.
Are you broken inside? Is that why you do things like this?
No, it's just that just seemed like a really great spot.
No,
parking
it's
spot.
Not. You do
still
it on
had
purpose.
Lots of spots. You still had lots of parking
in
spots.
In fact, you have lots of spots, but you do it on purpose, right?
The whole parking lot is open.
Yeah. I get it. That's my point. But he decides because
Dell
he's broken
has decided
inside.
He has a spot now.
No, I've decided you're broken inside, so you decide to take that spot. Because
why
you
is he
jab.
Broken? Because he takes a spot that he likes a lot.
No, he wants to jab someone a little bit. He goes, hey, I don't have much pleasure going on in my life, so let me find some pleasure in jabbing someone.
That's not true, Dell. Yes, I never do that.
Yes, I think that's accurate.
I think you're a little broken.
No, that was like a... I mean, does it enter my mind that you like that parking spot?
Of course it does.
Maybe subconsciously.
No, it is at the forefront of why you do it.
It's just one little... You wouldn't even know it, John. You wouldn't even know the difference.
The only reason he's had the opportunity is because of the floods,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and he takes it.
Right.
Because he's broken.
I get a park under the covered parking and not get rained on.
Look, I understand. Small pleasures, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, is Kansas
I just don't
State
get wet.
Is Kansas State coming to Oklahoma or no?
I don't know. Has that been decided? I know
that has been an issue.
Notre Dame and Wake Forest postponed their game. Now they have the same bye week, so they might just play it next week, I think. But yeah, that's up for debate too. K-State and Oklahoma.
K-State and Oklahoma is up for grabs. We'll see. What's the best 11 o'clock game? Florida at Ole Miss?
Yeah, SEC gets started. Lane Kiffin versus University of Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See how his team is. I guess that's the best one. 2:30 LSU and Mississippi State is on CBS. Texas at Tech is on Fox. That's going to be pretty good. West Virginia and Oklahoma State. See if Spencer Sanders, have we heard anything? I don't, it's not broken. So.
No, I haven't heard, but I haven't heard. Well, I haven't looked for an update. I'll say that.
Alabama at Missouri at 6. North Texas at Houston at 6. Vanderbilt and A&M at 6:30. So we got us a nice little schedule. Kansas at Baylor. I'm pretty sure Baylor's going to play in that one. Did you guys see Mack Rhodes coming back at Dana now, clapping back?
Oh, what? Yeah.
And he told, apparently, Mack Rhodes is none too pleased with Dana. Dana, on in his press conference, Dana says, I don't know. It gets to 22 hours before the game. That's Dana. That's my Dana.
Oh, impression. That's your Dana?
That's my Dana. There's a reason why our conference in the Big 12 tests three times a week. So I would think that our opponent kind of knows where they're just at. We kind of knew where we were at. We had 5 buses out there, hotels lined up. We got our equipment truck parked at McLean Stadium. He was pissed. And you know what? He kind of clapped back at Rhodes, and Rhodes came back. Here's the deal. Here's what happened. And Rhodes came back. He was on a radio show, and he said, "Yeah, I don't know what Dana's talking about." He actually said, "Oh, let me see. I'm trying to find it." Anyway, he did state that they were down to a position group, offensive line group, that was one guy short of what the Big 12 mandate is.
6. He said it's an automatic cancellation.
But they had one player that was suspended that they could have unsuspended and played the game. So. But they said, you know, we probably could have justified it in our mind. We certainly could have cleared it. But what does that do in terms of long term and what we believe in and what our program is built upon? And then what message does that send to our young men as well? It was just something that Dave and I, at the end of the day, that we just felt we're not going to compromise.
I know that playing a walk on O lineman isn't ideal, but if you needed 7 or 8, that couldn't be taken into consideration.
No, because you got to learn. I mean, you got to know what you can get people hurt.
What do you mean learn? I mean,
if you're a walk-on,
he may not be great, but if he's in the program and
they had him in the program,
just because they were going to have.
They only had 6 in a position group. They had 7 or 8.
Well, scholarships or actual O linemen.
No, the position group, period.
Well,
in their depth chart, they had 6 O linemen. That's not enough. They cancel games because you don't have depth. You need to have 8.
Unsuspended.
Well, you have to have 7. Frankly, teams need 8. They're not gonna. I'm just telling you this. They're not gonna like that. That's publicly being thrown out there. They're not gonna like what John has said. I think Granado's hurt their chances of getting into the Big 12 now, because now Baylor and Texas is gonna be pissed off. Like, guess what they're out there saying? They're calling us the P words.
Well, not they. Me.
Yeah, but they're gonna think you speak.
I don't speak for anybody. I speak for myself.
Now you said.
You know what?
Yeah, Johnson.
I didn't say P. I said the B word.
He said B word. He did.
Oh, B words.
Yeah.
Oh, the P words you called Gary Patterson.
No, I didn't call him.
He didn't say that.
TCU.
I didn't say that.
Or B words.
You're clear that it was 6, only 6 offensive linemen, period. Not 6 scholarship offensive linemen.
No, it's 6 O-line.
And again, surprisingly, they're all back.
You're a walk-on.
Kansas.
No, but even if you're
Who they got? Who they got?
Well, they said none of them tested. They said none of them tested positive. It's through it's through the tracing, because they all lived together. So it knocked out a whole group, which is not unusual. It's what happened with LSU. They just didn't have a week of practice. They had to quarantine their whole offensive line. They had 4 get sick. The whole line got quarantined. They couldn't even have practices. This is actually a normal thing. It's just LSU didn't have a game coming up that week.
But they didn't have 4 get sick. They just had tracing. That's all they had.
Right. They had tracing that knocked out the group.
It's a lot different than the LSU situation. A lot different.
Well, but they had guys who were... No, not really, because they had... Their tracing was from people on the program, but their tracing knocked out not only their group, they ended up quarantining 20 people who didn't have it, remember? They couldn't even practice.
And surprisingly, they're all ready for this week.
Right. LSU was ready in a week, too, but they couldn't do anything for a week.
Yeah. All right.
It just so happened as the week. I mean, I don't feel comfortable saying Baylor was afraid to play Houston, or they would have never, they could have easily just not taken that matchup.
No. Actually, no, you're right. That you would think that they wouldn't. However, you would think that they would have gone about it better than this.
Yeah, I can't speak to all that. I will know that being called out publicly is not going to sit well with Mac Rhodes.
Oh, well.
Well, that's why he clapped back.
Yeah, that's right. And who gives a rat's ass what Mac Rhodes thinks?
Well, you don't want to make the Big 12. You know what the game plan is for Houston.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to make enemies in the Big 12.
No, probably not. And, you know, it really doesn't matter. They're not getting in the Big 12.
They're not letting them in.
No. The Big 12 has been adamant about them not getting in. They're not getting in.
The only reason
if there's a super conference, though, if there's a super conference
Texas
being
developed, will never let University of Houston.
Well, I don't understand the Texas and U of H thing. I just don't.
Listen, and here was the point. Here was a point written by some comments after this story. We'll get it on the other side. We're late for a break. We'll get it on the other side. 744 ESPN 97.5. If you're looking for a great way to listen, you're follically challenged. I had a giant 9-iron divot out of the back of my head. Fred was basically pretty bald, okay? His took a lot longer than mine. Mine, I was sitting in the chair for about 4 hours, and it was basically painless. It was an easy process. If you're looking for a great way to get hair, this is the neo-grafting. It's different than the cutting and the pasting on the top of your head. It's from the sides of your head, and so it always stays in. Those are the hairs that don't fall out. This is a wonderful process, and it's Doc Linville is doing it. And I did it, and I got to tell you, it's made a huge difference, and it will make a huge difference for you too. If you're somebody that is follically challenged, get your consultation right now at 975hair.com. Set it up. The doc will talk to you. He will tell you how it works. He'll tell you everything about it. And I'm telling you, you're going to love the process. 975hair.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. So some of the comments on that. And here's the fact. Remember when Texas was going to play at the University of Houston and they had the temporary stands, and they had like books underneath them?
I remember. Sugar packets.
Yes. And they were jamming them in.
That was Chet Gladchuk.
Another magazine to put under there.
That's Chet Gladchuk's magic.
Yeah.
Chet the Jet.
So that was.
I remember that was a problem.
I think the beginning.
There was two things. Do you remember what the other thing was?
Well, back in the day when they.
It was the same game. They had the terrible stands, and the other thing was Sean Rogers got shot blocked and had his leg broken, and he was out for the year. Also, they were real pissed off about that. Who was the coach? Was that Helton? In 2000? Does that happen in like 2000? Yeah.
It must have been Helton. Well, maybe it was.
It wasn't Dimmel.
No, Dimmel didn't win a game.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wasn't it? I think it was Helton.
Might have been.
Because Helton used to say things on our show like, I have a hard time listening to people criticize football who never had any sweat between their legs. Like, all right, good.
Well, he thought he was John Wayne.
He did.
He really did. Hey, I liked Kim Helton.
Yeah, I liked
Kim Helton. Was great.
Remember, he was the love coach on one channel. Yeah. He'd give love advice to somebody. That was actually a pretty good gimmick. Yeah, I never heard it, but I can imagine it was pretty good.
Yeah, they call in with their love problems. The coach would solve them for them. Anyway, but somebody said, listen, if this was reversed and U of H did that to Baylor, that would be, look at them. That's unprofessional.
Oh, I'd be pissy too.
It's like a... You know, they're not ready for big time. You can't cancel on a team 22 hours before.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. Because it's so short.
Baylor catches it, and it's like, oh, shut up. Mac Rhodes is telling Dana to shut up. And you know what? If the shoe was reversed, you would have heard Baylor squawking about it.
I think any team that gets canceled on that short term, like how do all your problems arise in that short a time frame? I think that's the number. And I'd be more pissed off that you had all your stuff over there. Like, you just ordered more barbecue.
Yeah.
You just, everything it's that short term a notice, yeah, I'd be
well,
pretty.
Well, not only them, I'm telling you, Joel Klatt was quoted in this thing. I can tell you, Fox was not happy with Baylor.
Oh, can't be.
No.
All the stuff that goes into getting things on site
that's
and setting
days.
Up.
That's they start on Tuesday.
You start on, yeah, you have to get set up, well, at least Thursday.
Yeah.
You have to start getting stuff set up. You set up your satellite truck. There's a lot that goes into it.
A lot. You got to drive a satellite. You got everything.
Joel Klatt lives, I don't know where he lives now, but he probably lives in California. So, you know, you're flying over there.
Or Colorado.
Yeah, he might live, but he does a lot of stuff on TV now. He might be from the Fox studios. He comes on NFL Network, from time to time. Well, he's turned a draft. Maybe, yeah. So he might be in California now. I don't know if he's still, because he used to do a radio show in Denver, but I don't think he does it anymore. He's all grossed up. Aggie Steve. Now, Big Aggie Steve says, quarantine for everyone else is 14 days unless you're a Baylor football player. Now, the quarantine, I didn't know if people missed this, but the quarantine has actually been moved from 14 to 10 days. The CDC threw that in there back in July. The original was 14 days was decided because the latest scientific data shows most people are no longer contagious 10 days after infection, even if you had symptoms. So they moved quarantine from 14 to 10 days from the CDC. Now, if you don't have it, if it was contact tracing and you never were positive, then they're going to be that they don't have to be out 10 days. They don't have to be quarantined. So just to be safe, people have said 14 if you've been around somebody. But in real life, that's not going to be the case for people who test regularly like a football program.
Art says about Dana versus versus Mac Rhodes. This rich white guy on rich white guy violence has got to stop. Please, it's ripping the steakhouses apart.
Stop. Stop, Art.
Hashtag Mac.
By the way, you remember how we talked to Jimbo Fisher about Anthony Hines opting out? Well, after he said this year has been a wild ride to say the least. With everything taking place in the world right now, from the pandemic to the blatant injustices being committed towards people of color, it's difficult to be 100% locked in for the game of football right now. I can't help but see this time as an opportunity to try and make a difference in my community. With that being said, I've chosen to opt out. Shortly thereafter, Texas A&M defensive back Leon O'Neal said, in times like this, you find out who really love ball. And then that was a direct shot at Anthony Hines. So, Aggie on Aggie violence there a little bit. Mm. At least
no,
Twitter violence.
You know, listen, it's got to be awfully difficult because that kid has got to he's got to face those guys every day, you know, and hey, I'm not playing. Okay. And those guys need him and want him there. And they work their asses off all year long. And then the guy says, listen, I'm just not comfortable playing. And for whatever reason, and good, you know what? That's fine. If he doesn't want to play, he shouldn't play. But he's still got to face the music of his peers who are saying, you know, that have been sweating with him and bleeding with him and working hard all these years. I don't know how many years he's been there or whatever. But you know what? They were counting on him. And that's got to be awfully difficult. And you know what? I don't know. How do you look at a guy? Especially maybe, I don't know how good Anthony Hines is. I don't know if he's going to be an NFL prospect.
Don't really know him yet.
Yeah, you don't know him yet. Mm-mm. But does an NFL team look at you differently now?
Well, he quote unquote cleared the air Monday morning on social media. I've seen quite a few rumors, and I just want to clear the air. I lost someone very close to me and my family to COVID 3 weeks ago. I made the decision to opt out of the season due to concern for me and my family's safety, as well to try to make an impact on the field regarding social injustice. So that might answer the question about why now. Why a week before?
Well, but
your
if a
game.
Teammate doesn't think you love football anyway, that clearing the air isn't going to do anything for them.
But that's less about him than that particular teammate, and more about people questioning. Wait a minute, you decided just the Saturday before your first game.
Well, I can tell you this is how it usually works. What scouts will do, and I was surprised at this answer that I get from scouts on this. They go talk to your teammates, like who's the one guy who's the alpha on this team, and then who's your top three teammates that you'd want to be in a foxhole with, and who's your three that you wouldn't want to be in a foxhole with. And they ask questions, and then they'll ask directly, like, what kind of, you know, because they believe this is just between those two guys. Mm-hmm. And it typically is. Well, they'll tell it to the team too. What do you think about him as a leader, as a player? Does he love football? And I'm surprised. I always thought that they would just, you know, just put on the happy face, but scouts said that they will. Well, players will be very honest most of the time about other teammates, or they will be kind of hem and haw, and you can tell through their word choice who they really think are the guys. Like, they'll ask them somebody who they know is a leader, and they'll see the reaction, and then they'll ask about another guy to see how it matches up against somebody who they've already set a standard for what the answer for a great leader would be. And so I don't know anything about Anthony Hines at all, so I can't really speak to it. I have to check my my thing to see if I have to write him up or not. But and as far as I know, he's opting out, and he's not going pro or anything like that. He's just opting out, and he'll be back next year.
Maybe, maybe for his own. That's what, maybe for his own health. Like,
but he needs to go talk to Leon Leon Neal, because you don't want your own teammates thinking you don't love football.
Yeah. Yep. Well, this will be interesting. Longhorn Scott wants to weigh in on Baylor versus UH. What do you say, Longhorn Scott?
Hey guys, good morning. You know, I'm on my way to take the kids to school and head to the office, and so let me make sure I've got this right. Okay, Dana Holgorsen is suggesting that Baylor didn't handle, in this case, something related to a pandemic, you know, that hadn't happened in 100 years with a new protocol. He's suggesting that they didn't handle it with the most consideration or thoughtfulness or professionalism that they could have exuded. Is that right? Is that generally what he's suggesting?
Yeah, pretty much. They canceled the 22 hours before the game, yeah. Which is what they should have known. Maybe I don't know. I'm not going to speak for Dana, but maybe they should have known their situation and a little bit better than that. That they should have had.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That's what I thought. So let's reset the table a little bit. Let's rewind. You know, to about, I don't know, roughly a year ago. Not quite a year ago. About 4 weeks into the season last year, when Dana basically tells his seniors and any of the, you know, people that care about U of H football, after going on when he's hired, saying, y'all want to win, Cougar, let's go win some football games, right? So then 4 weeks in, he convinces his best player, who's now starting at Miami and doing pretty darn well, to sit out in redshirt, thus tanking the whole season for all of his seniors and all the people that care about U of H football. That's the guy who's now upset that someone has allegedly not handled something in the most professional of manners. Okay. Just want to make sure I had that right.
All right. So so that was unprofessional of Dana, is what you're saying. When in fact they were 1-3 and the kid was playing like crap. They were 1-3 on the year with that kid who couldn't play very well because he had which you don't know anything about, had a lot of stuff going on in his personal life. And it was, and the kid was distraught. But you go ahead, Scott, and you sit, you know, I don't know, 20 miles from U of H's campus, and you judge. You just go ahead and do that, because that's what you can do from afar. You can take pot shots.
Can I respond?
And, oh, by the way, Dana wanted the kid back at U of H to play really, really well, which he's doing this year with a lot of that crap that was hovering over him last year. You do know his father died, don't you?
Can I respond?
Yeah. You know his father died, right?
Well, obviously, I did not know that.
Okay, so you don't know what you're talking about yet. You're going to take shots.
But John, no, here's what I do know. First of all, and listen, that's one incident in Dana's history of...
That's the incident that we're talking about.
That is what we're talking about.
Okay.
So you're going to tell me that you're 1-3, you have a 12-game schedule. You're going to quit after four games?
They didn't quit after four games. They thought that maybe Clayton Tune would be better.
That's awful.
The kid was playing...
It's awful to lose your father.
The kid was playing terribly. Let Scott go. You didn't quit on anybody last year. You know what? He actually thought that Clayton Tune was a better option because Clayton Tune did not have all of the stuff going on in his life that De'Aaron King had going on. And De'Aaron King was playing really terribly. You don't know. It wasn't Dana. The kid went into Dana's office and basically broke down. So, but you can assume all you want to do from 20 miles away, wherever you live, Scott, about what's going on in Dana's office. But that actually happened. he broke down in Dana's office. So it was a it was a very difficult thing.
That's my
especially for D.R. King. And you know what? D.R. King is in a great place right now.
The I mean, as far as the timeline, I believe his I don't know how long his mother was diagnosed with cancer, but we saw if you saw part of the story on ESPN yesterday, his mother had cancer. She rang the bell saying she was cleared. Now his father died later in February. So I just don't know everything that kid was dealing with at the time, but I do know at least during that time frame he was with Houston, his mother was dealing with the cancer diagnosis and trying to fight it. So there are multiple things going on with that kid.
The kid was in a really, really bad place last year. And Dana actually helped him out. He got him another year just playing those four games. D'Eriq King would have been done. He would not be playing football right now. He would be not a pro. He would be in a terrible place now without his father and his mother and his mother who was sick. And he would have sat there and he would be sitting there right now, maybe playing wide receiver on some roster, maybe, or on a practice squad. Instead, he's got himself in a great position playing quarterback at Miami and actually vying for a Heisman Trophy this year. But yeah, Dana was a real a-hole about it, Scott. Dana really, really hurt that kid. Oh, well. Let's talk TGS Insurance.
Text the word money to 232323. Text the word money to 232323, and I will tornado dab for you as you save money. When you're saving your money, when you're canceling, this is what I want you to do. When you get that text back and it asks for your address, you send it out, within 15 seconds, you're going to get a Affirm homeowner's quote. Compare it to what you're saving right now. If you save over $1,000, what I want you to do is just look at the phone and then just dab. Just do a dab right into the phone just to show, just to kind of, you're basically doing that to your homeowner's insurance company, the one that basically has been overcharging you probably for years and years because you stuck with them the whole time. And you know what? I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's an area where a lot of people throw away money. It's an A-rated insurance company that you're going to switch to. The same rating that you're typically going with, you're going to get the same rating, an A-rated company, and yet you're going to get it for substantially less. Make the switch today or at least look into it. At least find out if you can save money. Text the word money to 232323 and let TGS Insurance go to work. TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.